Welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a view of culture, current events, and politics through a biblical lens. Brought to you by Preborn, saving babies and souls. Join us in the fight to save babies from abortion. Your gift provides a free ultrasound for a mother in need. 80% of the time, she will choose life. Visit CrawfordMediaGroup.net and click on the Preborn logo to donate to save babies now. And by SunPower LED Light Therapy Devices. Bring light to your pain. Visit CrawfordMediaGroup.net and click on the SunPower LED logo to get out of pain and improve your overall wellness. And now, here are your hosts, Neil Boron, Bob Duco, and John Rush.
Another edition of the National Crawford Roundtable. I'm your host today, John Rush, out of Denver, Colorado. My show is Rush to Reason, Bob Duco, Detroit, Michigan, The Bob Duco Show, and Neil Boron, Buffalo, New York, The Neil Boron Live. And guys, we always pretty well known we record this on Wednesday morning, so good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
All right, we're going to talk about something today that's timeless. In fact, you may actually hear this particular episode repeat down the road because it's one of those things that, quite frankly, has been going on for millennials, I guess you could say, thousands of years now. We've been dealing with this, and unfortunately, guys, it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem inside of the GOP, inside of the Republican Party. And what I'm talking about is the anti-Semitism, the absolute hatred in some cases for Israel and the Jews. And I'll get all sorts of hate mail on this because I get this almost on a daily basis on my show from these particular individuals. They'll tell you that, no, it's not that we hate Israel or that we hate the Jews. We just hate what Israel is doing and this, that, and the other. And the reality, guys, is they can say that and they can put lipstick on a pig and make it sound like that's what they really mean. But believe me, I've got enough text messages and emails from these individuals to tell you that that is not what they believe. There is genuine hatred inside of the Republican Party for Israel and the Jews. And I want to go through that today. We maybe will split this up a little bit, but first of all, I guess we'll go around the table. Bob, we'll start with you. I'm sure you've heard some of the same things I've heard on my program regarding this.
No, I sure have. And it is a problem that I got to say, it's not just the left that has a serious anti-Semitism problem. Although I don't mind saying it is predominantly on the left, but
They're open about it, Bob. That's the difference. Is in my opinion, they act like they're not, but they're very open in their anti-Semitism and you know what we've seen throughout the past couple of years on college campuses and so on. They're absolutely open about it, more so than the Republican Party. And before I move on to, I think, and get you guys' opinion on this, but. And I'm very, you guys know me, I'm very libertarian minded. I don't consider myself a libertarian because this is one of those areas where I have a distinct difference from the average libertarian because most libertarians are very anti-Israel, anti-Jew, Bob.
Yeah. Well, it is something that is unfortunately growing on the political right, and mostly with the younger generation.
That's right.
Okay, so the young conservative Christians, even many Christian conservatives that are young, are buying into this kind of anti-Semitism. It is different than the left's anti-Semitism, but it's similar in that it's still a kind of Jew hatred that they deny that they hate Jews. But they do. And I've had conversations with these people and with younger people before on this. A lot of what drives it from what I hear, first of all, that the Jews in Israel today are not really the original Jews from years ago.
Hear it all the time.
So these are basically, so these are basically, carpetbaggers, if you will, claiming Judaism when they're really not. Secondly, Israel is a secular nation for the most part anywhere. They're not even religious Jews in the first place. And then third, and it's, I know this is very politically incorrect, but let's throw it out there, The Jews control everything. They control the media. Yep. They control Hollywood, entertainment, the banking industry and such. And so they have such tremendous power. And Satan, we know, is working through a lot of organizations in this country and the world through academia and through Hollywood and a bunch of evil things and anti-Christian things and pedophilia and all that kind of stuff. Look what Satan is doing through Hollywood. Well, guess what? Hollywood happens to be run mostly by Jews, and so therefore Satan is basically using Jews and powerful Jews as a portal to spread his evil around the world. So, John, in a nutshell, those are the reasons mainly that I've heard to justify their sense of anger toward mm-hmm. the Jews. And
absolutely.
Now, how we should respond to that, I think that's going to be an important part of this conversation.
Yes.
And
yes.
part of responding has got to be to acknowledge some things that legitimately are true. I mean, let's face it, Jewish people by and large do tend to disproportionately be in high power positions in the media and entertainment, in news, in the banking world, and things like that. Okay, so there is an amount of influence there. Israel is a secular nation. Okay, this is true. And so there are some of these things. Now, the question is, do we respond with hatred then? You know, I mean, Jews have turned their back on God through Jesus Christ, of course. Most of them don't accept Yeshua, Jesus, as Messiah, so they're wrong about that. And even though the Messianic Jewish movement is growing and growing in Israel, and that's great, but still, Jews need to accept Jesus to be saved. However, it's prophesied in Scripture that Jews are going to have a hardened heart toward
that's
him
right.
and that they are going to turn
yep.
away from God. So
that's right.
this is a fulfillment of prophecy. But my point is, and then I'll be done filibustering here, but my point is, and what I've told these young people before, is that, yes, Israel is kind of like a prodigal to God right now. They have turned their back on God. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. However, God still loves the prodigal. If one of your own sons or daughters walked away from you, walked away from the family, you would still love them and be ready mm-hmm. to receive them back with open arms. Well, God still loves the Jews, and he's ready to receive them back with open arms. I want to love who God loves and not hate them just because they've gone prodigal.
Amen. Neil, your thoughts, and I know we've got to go to our advertisers in a moment, but give us your thoughts, if you would.
I don't have a lot of additional info or anything to add based on what you and Bob were saying. I've heard similar things. I haven't dealt with this issue directly on NBL. We've talked about, you know, world affairs. We've talked about Israel many times, and we talk about Judaism and Messianic Judaism, those kind of things. But the idea of this growing anti-Semitism, even in the GOP, haven't addressed that directly. So this is going to be a, you know, fulfilling conversation, I think, in a lot of different ways. It's going to be important for all of us. But bottom line is, you know, Israel has always been a part of God's plan. That's what the Bible clearly indicates. Also, Israel has been rebellious towards God. I mean, what, 5 seconds after, you know, Moses comes down off the mountain, they're melting gold, right, and forming it into idols. Thou shalt.
I think it was 5 seconds.
It was about 5 seconds. You know,
maybe 6 seconds, Neil. Maybe six.
Well, and you know, what about us? We're disobedient too. We all need a savior, and the Bible's clear that Jews play into our mm-hmm. salvation, and so I think we got to be careful having a conversation like this to not just talk about opinion or what, you know, trends are on college campuses and all that. By the way, I agree that we're seeing tons of anti-Semitism, but that there's a real biblical link to all of this. And let's keep mm-hmm. the Bible central in what we're talking about. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of all that, Bob, real quick, talk to us about preborn. I'm segue into this, and then we'll come back to that because Neil just brought up a great point. But that applies also
right.
to preborn and the truths that are there that, by the way, the other side wants to distort.
I know. And look, it's this simple. I want to have a heart for what God has a heart for. I want to love what God loves, okay? God loves the Jewish people. He does, okay? God also loves human beings, all right? I'm talking about born and unborn. A baby inside the womb is a human being made in the image and likeness of God. God has imparted a soul into that baby, and these babies are being killed through abortion. Well, this is where preborn comes in. Preborn is the main pro-life group that is saving babies' lives in pro-life centers all across the country. They're doing this by showing ultrasound images of the babies to the moms. When a mom sees a picture of her baby, it's very rare that she goes across the street to Planned Parenthood and goes through with an abortion. She usually lets that baby live and very commonly accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. But it does take money to run ultrasound machines, and that's where you folks in the audience come in. We're asking you to pay for as many ultrasound images as you can to save as many babies' lives as possible. $28 is the average ultrasound expense to stop one abortion. So how many abortions would you be willing to stop? Take $28 times fill in the blank. And whatever that number is, okay, give it to preborn. Give it to preborn. You've given already, many of you have. Please give again. It's really that simple. You can go to crawfordmediagroup.net, click on preborn, and give right there. crawfordmediagroup.net, click on preborn. Or you can call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-BABY. And just mention National Crawford Roundtable when you call. And remember, 100% of what you give goes to ultrasounds. Not a penny for overhead. That's all covered by private donors. So CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on Preborn. While you're there, click on SunPower LED because they do phenomenal work with their photobiomodulation. Neil, I know you're very knowledgeable in this.
Well, I'm a recipient of the benefits of photobiomodulation, which simply means light therapy. It's taking the light God created, harnessing certain wavelengths of that light, and utilizing it to reduce pain and swelling in our body. Devices have been developed that are affordable now and powerful, and they penetrate the human body. They get to the cellular level. They inject light into those cells, energize those cells to do what the cells were created to do, which in the end really reaps benefits, especially if you're trying to heal from an injury or surgery or something else. If you've got pain or swelling in your body, light therapy from SunPower LED can reduce the pain and swelling, and in the process promote healing. I saw that happen when I was trying to recover from COVID. I couldn't breathe. I was on the doorstep of going to the hospital and going on a ventilator. And light therapy from SunPower LED healed my lungs in a matter of days, literally. You can learn all about what it can do for you by going to CrawfordMediaGroup.net. Click on SunPower LED. By the way, use the promo code ROUNDTABLE10 if you want to save yourself 10%. But CrawfordMediaGroup.net, learn how the light God created can help to heal your body. John?
And I appreciate both of you guys, mentioning both those organizations. They're fabulous. They help put on what you guys are listening to, the rest of you are listening to on a weekly basis, and we appreciate them greatly. Neil, going back to what your comments were a moment ago regarding, we need to look at things scripturally and all of that, which, by the way, fully agree with. And I think that's, and this, I'm going to go back to Bob on this, because Bob, you're very much, Neil is as well, but you're very much an expert on this, although we probably all three are. I mean, I can hold my own when it comes to dispelling some of these things where people will say that, it's not really Israel any longer. In fact, I've heard even say, Bob, we're the new Israel. And I think they forget that we're not the new Israel. Scripture is very clear. Right. We as Gentiles have been grafted in. There's an entire passage of Scripture dedicated to what I just said a moment ago. And it's interesting, Bob, to me that these anti-Israelites, these anti-Jews that are inside of the GOP, and I realize there's a lot on the left as well. But right now I'm focusing on the GOP and literally this split that's starting to happen. That the reason why I wanted to talk about this is going to be ongoing. I don't see this going away anytime soon. But Bob, these people seem to be picking and choosing, because here's what I've done. I've challenged each and every one of them that text or email me that, I'm wrong and, Israel's evil and the Jews are evil and this, that, and the other. And I'm always, prove to me in Scripture your side of that argument, and I'll be happy to have that discussion. Bob, it's crickets when you go down that path, because they pick and choose what they want out of Scripture to explain their side. Am I right in what I'm saying there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because it is very clear in Scripture that God made an everlasting covenant with Israel, okay? He did with Jacob and beyond there from the line of Abraham. And this is something that's everlasting. I do not believe in so-called replacement theology or anything like that.
Me
at all.
Either.
But God establishing an everlasting covenant with Israel, that doesn't mean that Jews don't need to accept Yeshua, Jesus,
it doesn't mean they're
Messiah,
perfect, Bob.
To be saved.
That's right.
Say what?
It doesn't mean they're perfect by any stretch of the imagination, nor
exactly.
Have any of us ever said that.
Right. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, okay? He was speaking to Jews, okay? He came to the Jew. Right. No one comes to the Father but by me. So, and he was talking to Jews. He came to the Jew first and then the Gentile, okay? Mm-hmm. So,
let's stop there for a minute, because I think the thing that the other side forgets, and this is my view, but I don't think I'm wrong in this, he came to them first because they're his chosen people, his desire. It's almost like that, and I know we don't play favorites when we have kids, but you know what? Sometimes you have those kids that you just have more of a fondness to than others. And it's just the way life is. You can say that it doesn't exist, but Bob, it actually does. And in this case, they were the chosen people. They were his chosen ones. He went to them first because of that.
Right. And you know something? This is something where we need to recognize as Gentiles, all right? And Gentiles are pretty much anybody who's not a Jew, okay? As Gentiles, we are grafted in. We ought to be thankful that we're grafted in. And so much so, if you think of this, well, when somebody adopts a child, okay, let's say you have your natural born child and then you adopt a child, and you consider that child not a second class citizen, but that child is just as much loved.
That's right.
And now suddenly there's no difference between son and daughter because that daughter has been grafted in. She's now, just as the Apostle Paul said, in Christ Jesus, there is no Jew nor Greek. Okay, he's talking about Jew nor non-Jew. So in God, in Christ Jesus, we now have equal standing and equal love with God, but that doesn't mean that God's everlasting covenant wasn't with Israel and Israel first. So we should be thankful that we were grafted in. And personally, I think this is a means of keeping the Gentile from developing too much pride, if you will. It does require a little bit of humility to say, you know what, the Jew was first, and I have been grafted in and invited to their party, and I'm thankful for that. Sometimes we want to just say, no, let's just eliminate that. Let's go replacement theology, and God's covenant with me is no different than it was with Israel. Well, no, it is different. We all need to accept Jesus, but the Jew came first. We came second, and we need to be content with that. And the fact that he's prepared a place for us in heaven just the same, and I think we should be thankful for that and not try to go, oh, yeah, well, the Jews aren't so much, and and come up with all of our reasons why.
Neil, I think, and Bob just brought up a great point that I really hadn't thought of prior, so I appreciate his comments, because really what he's saying and what I see in this is a pride issue. You've got a bunch of individuals now, Gentiles, because Bob's right. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. It's pretty simple as far as that goes. At the end of the day, Neil, these are basically Gentiles putting themselves or wanting to put themselves above that particular group of individuals that allowed us to be grafted in as Christians. And again, I read the Bible myself many times. I've taught Sunday school, adult Sunday school, kids Sunday school. I mean, I have been through some of this stuff, grew up in a Christian home, Christian school, all of that. I've probably been to more church services than most people ever have thought of being in their entire life, and heard many a sermon on this particular topic. And at the end of the day, Neil, these individuals that are picking and choosing what they see out of Scripture is frankly, it's appalling to me. I don't know how else to say it. It absolutely, I mean, I call these people what they actually are. They're Jew haters. They can't prove from Scripture why they are, but they are down and out Jew haters.
I do think it's driven by pride. I mean,
I do too.
To you, but I think that that's an underlying theme that permeates all of this. It's almost like Lucifer in the beginning, that he wanted to be equal with God. You know, that we don't want to be, quote unquote, second class, standing in line behind the Jews.
That's right.
And it's like, no, let's practice some humility here.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that, but let me just say, when we refer to the Jews as God's chosen people, yes, he chose them very specifically, ultimately, that salvation would come from them. John 4:22 says salvation is from the Jews. So like our salvation, the idea that we can know God and have a relationship with him, ultimately came through Jesus, who, by the way,
was a Jew full and,
who was
through and
Jewish.
Through. That's the other thing, Neil, that people forget
is Jewish.
He didn't start his ministry until the age of 30, because that's when you had to be, that's the age you had to be a rabbi at that point in time. So the reality is he was Jew through and through. Are these people forgetting that, Neil?
Yeah. And then you look at, all of the Jewish feasts and festivals and the various symbolic things we see in Judaism, like, for instance, the Passover, that where the blood is applied, the angel of death passes over, but Christ's blood applied to our lives gives us salvation, a home in heaven, freedom from sin, etc. So, I mean, it's all tied in. Jesus is coming back, and the word of God is clear that one day he's going to set his feet back down on planet Earth. And guess where he's going to be? At the Mount of Olives, he's going to be in Jerusalem, which is Israel. Let's wake up to that. But what I wanted to say about the word chosen people, I always struggle with that a bit. Like, what does that mean that they're chosen? Why would God choose them? Does that mean he likes them better? Well, he did set his affection upon them. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Like, he does have affection for Israel, but I think it's largely for one important reason, because salvation would come from them. They are integral to the entire salvation story, to the gospel. Right. The Jewish people, and here's another aspect to it. To be chosen you know, if they say, okay, we don't know if these parachutes work, but we need somebody to test them out. We're not sure they're going to work. They might be too old. They might fall apart when you're, you know, try to use them in midair. But John, I'm choosing you. Go ahead, John. You jump out of the plane with the parachute, right? Like, they were chosen by God to demonstrate to the world that we can't save ourselves by the Ten Commandments. Yeah, he gave us the law, but what does the law do? It leads us to Jesus. Why? Because nobody could keep the law. Everybody failed except for Christ. So in a way, they were a guinea pig of sorts, chosen by God to help prove to the world that, like, when Adam and Eve thought they could be like God and save themselves and have all knowledge and whatever, that that's not true. That ultimately we can't save ourselves even with knowledge of who God is. And, you know, coming to the end of ourselves, we realize, my goodness, I've broken every one of the laws multiple times. Like, where in the world do I go from here? And the answer is to Jesus. God needed to prove through the law that mankind is incapable of saving himself. And I think God chose the Jews to help demonstrate that. Mm-hmm. That's, in one sense, not a badge of honor, and yet also part of the ultimate redemption plan for mankind, that God would choose a people from which Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Thank God for our salvation, which is Amen. Found in Jesus, the Jew. Amen.
And you know, Bob, Neil brought up a lot of great points there and some things I want to add to that for those that don't think that they still exist today, which we'll get into that maybe in the second half, right. Maybe get into some of the political ends of things and so on. But, you know, not to get weird or anything along those lines, but circumcision, which that's even another thing that's being debated today. And I believe it's partly due to the topic we're talking about today, by the way, because the way that God separated his people at that time, the biggest way he did it was through circumcision, which when you think about it, you're like, man, that's a weird way to do things. But it was a way of separating his people, the clean from the unclean, if you would. And, you know, those unclean Philistines, it talks about that in the scripture. And in fact, you know, at one point in time, David was commanded by Saul, because Saul didn't think he could actually do it, was to go out and get X amount of foreskins and, you know, bring those back in. And anyways, some stuff that you think about today, it's like, man alive, they went through a lot of things back in the day. But Neil's right. They were God's chosen people, started with Abraham, as we all know, and went mm-hmm. down from there. And, you know, why? Well, because of the redemption of the world, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. And so I do believe that as we talk about this, and you mentioned, John, that maybe in the second half we'll talk a little bit about, you know, who are the Jews and do they exist? I can imagine that some people listening to us right now maybe screaming at their computers or their radios going, but the Jews in Israel are not Jews. They are not the Jews. You guys keep talking about the Jews, okay, but the Jews don't exist. You know, they're not in Israel anymore. Who are the Jews? And so it does seem like that's an elephant in the room to a lot of the anti-Semitism mm-hmm. that's on the right today. Mm-hmm. So I do hope that we get into that and we can address that issue in the second half. But yes, I mean, you're right. This is something that God established through, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and then, of course, Jacob, Israel. And he established this covenant with the Jewish people. And so we can't deny that. We can't just sweep that under the rug. We have to acknowledge it. And he did, in fact, create a separation there between them. Now, in Christ Jesus, we're no longer under the law, okay? Jewish people do not have to be circumcised, okay? The, you know, Apostle Paul right. talked about this. So they're not under the law. They don't have to be. This may be a mark that identifies them with their Judaism, but it's not something that's required. I mean, culturally, most Gentiles are circumcised. I mean, it's right. just it's a very common thing to, in these days, which I don't know if I have time, but there's just something really important on the side, a tangential note that I'd like to mention about circumcision. Okay. For all the Bible skeptics out there who say that the Bible isn't really inspired by God and such, do you know one of the things medically that's been discovered today is that when newborn babies, when baby boys are circumcised, and they're circumcised on the day that they're born, they're given a shot of vitamin K. The reason they're given a shot of vitamin K is because vitamin K produces prothrombin. Prothrombin is a coagulating agent in the body that helps the blood clot. So newborn babies don't have enough prothrombin. And so if you circumcise a baby boy, he'll bleed too much. He'll lose too much blood. We now medically know prothrombin levels increase after birth, and they hit a peak point where they're at about 110% of normal levels, and then it drops down after that to the normal level for the rest of their life. Do you know that the peak level is 8 days after birth? We now medically know this, 8 days after birth.
Wow.
You will clot, your blood will clot faster any time in your life on day eight after birth. Isn't it interesting? And that's why they give vitamin K shots to produce more prothrombin for the newborn babies. Isn't it interesting that thousands of years ago, God instructed his people, circumcise your baby boys specifically on the eighth day? How could that be known? The Holy Spirit knows that, but how could the human mind have known that then?
Amen. Lead that into preborn for us, Bob, as well, because it fits right in.
Absolutely, because you know what? We want that baby boy to be born, okay? We don't want him to be killed through abortion, and this is happening every day. You know this, folks. This is where preborn comes in, and we want you to support preborn. What you're doing is you're paying for ultrasound images so moms can see a picture of their baby and choose life and not go through with the abortion. And you know what? It works. But we need to pay for these ultrasound images. Now, many of you have given to preborn multiple times. Thank you so much for that. Please continue giving. Make this part of your regular missionary budget in your household to, all right, we're going to save X number of babies right now. What you do is you calculate $28, which is the average ultrasound expense to stop one abortion. $28 times fill in the blank. Pray about a number. Whatever that number is, that's your gift to preborn today. And hey, we need some of you to buy ultrasound machines. They're 15 grand a piece. Great tax write-off for you coming up on the end of the year. But you get to know you're stopping thousands of abortions year after year. For everybody else, it's $28 times fill in the blank. And everything you give, 100%, goes to ultrasound. Nothing for overhead. That's all covered by private donors. So here's how you give. Over the phone, call 833-850-BABY. They answer 24/7, so call 833-850-BABY. Or just go to CrawfordMediaGroup.net and click on Preborn. CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on Preborn, give right there. And while you're at it, click on SunPower LED. Neil?
Yeah, using light to help heal the body. It's an interesting concept. Photobiomodulation is the fancy term, but light therapy is, you know, a working term that works just as well. What does that mean? It means harnessing certain wavelengths of light, shooting them into the body using a device that's created by SunPower LED. And we're not talking about UV rays or skin cancer or anything like that. These are separate wavelengths of light that get to the cellular level, energize the mitochondria in the cell, and begin to heal our body. There's a woman named Linda told a story about how SunPower LED helped set her free from the pain and discomfort of cervical spinal stenosis, which can be incredibly painful. Mark recovered from knee surgery and he can run again. Diana had significant improvement of her tinnitus using SunPower LED. Mary suffered from debilitating back pain. I mean, there's so many stories. At the website, you can find CrawfordMediaGroup.net. Click on SunPower LED and learn how light can be used to reduce pain and swelling and promote healing in your body. And by the way, when you're there, use the promo code ROUNDTABLE10 for a 10% discount. But you'll find SunPower LED and Preborn at CrawfordMediaGroup.net.
That's it, guys, for the first half of the National Crawford Roundtable. Second half is next.
This is a Crawford Media Group production.
Welcome back. Second half, National Crawford Roundtable. Myself, John Rush out of Denver, Colorado. Of course, Bob Duco, Detroit, Michigan. Neil Boron, Buffalo, New York. And guys, I want to read something to you guys. This is the AZA-PAC.com. And this is the, I don't know exactly what AZA-PAC stands for, but let me read to you what this particular homepage actually says. Zionism has taken over the U.S. government as the constant subservience to Israel in word and deed makes eminently clear. Opposing Zionism in America means ridding the government of Zionists who serve Israel over the United States. This demands, among other measures, confronting and competing with entrenched lobbies like AI, PAC, CUFI, and J Street. These groups bend U.S. policy to favor foreign agendas. Zionist influence drains American resources, undermines U.S. sovereignty, and runs counter to the interests of the American people. More on that later, by the way. These and other powerful pro-Israel groups have captured most members of our political class, who extort money from U.S. taxpayers, censor the voices of citizens and residents, and prioritize endless foreign entanglements over domestic prosperity. as a PAC harnesses a growing consensus among Americans from across the political spectrum. The American people increasingly disapprove of Israel's belligerence and U.S. involvement in Israel's perpetual conflicts, including its utter demolition of the Gaza Strip. We help Americans reject policies that enable Zionist occupation at home and abroad. Join this broad grassroots coalition that bridges the political divide, uniting progressives and conservatives alike. Only together will we overcome these nefarious influences and prevail. We will cut wasteful foreign military aid, champion universal human rights, and promote peace worldwide. Our goal is to reclaim the U.S. government for the American people. In doing so, the world is made a better, safer, and more peaceful place. And guys, after reading all of that, I just want to throw up. But that's another. We'll get into some of this and break down some of where they're 1,000% wrong in their thoughts here. But the one sentence here that, Bob, I'll start with you, that is probably the most bothersome of all, is join this broad grassroots coalition that bridges the political divide, uniting progressives and conservatives alike. In other words, let's unite Marxists and Christians alike. That's mm-hmm. essentially what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. And that's the connecting bond between them. Hey, let's join together and yep. hate on Israel and hate
that's
on
right.
Jews. Okay, because
I want to add, so all of you Christians, so-called Christians that are out there that fit into this particular conversation we're talking about today, remember, when you're going against Israel the way that a lot of you are, you're nothing more than a Marxist at that point in time, in my opinion, Bob.
Yeah. Well, here's what we got to remember too, and I want to make sure and stress this. I do believe, and I know we've talked about this in many, many different issues, and I'm going to say it again right now. I believe that this is a spiritual battle at its core.
Absolutely.
I really do, because if you think about Israel for just a second, logically, okay? Let's pretend you're an atheist. You don't even believe that there's a God. In the natural, how do you explain a little country, a little strip of land no bigger than New Jersey, right, being the center of such worldwide strife or around the world? How can such a little country be so influential in much of the strife and division and fighting and everything else in the world if there's not something supernatural at work there? You look at the United Nations. The United Nations, each year, they declare who are the number one persecutor of human rights and women's rights in the entire world. Do you know their number one persecutor of human rights and number one persecutor of women's rights? Not China with their forced abortion policies, not North Korea, not Sudan, okay, not Nigeria, no Middle Eastern nation. Nope, Israel. Israel, the number one violator of human rights, number one violator of women's rights in the world, okay? This is the United
Nations. Based on what?
I'm telling you, it is insane. Based on the so-called occupation of the Palestinian territories and such. That. And so what I'm telling you is there is a hatred that worldwide that is applied toward Israel. And if if scripture wasn't true, there is no explanation in the natural for why so many people around the world would be emotionally vested in a hatred for Israel that they can't even really put their finger on why. I submit to you that God's light is supposed to be an offense to a darkened world, and God loves Israel. He loves the Jews, and what God loves, Satan hates, and therefore Satan hates the Jews, and consequently, I think a lot of people around the world don't even know that the real core for their hatred of Jews is not because of all of the surface earthly things we talk about, but it's because spiritually they are offended by what God loves, and they're being influenced by demonic forces. That's what I really think is going on, to over-spiritualize it, if you will.
No, I think, Bob, you're right on. Neil, I'll get your thoughts on that as well. But, Bob, I can't disagree with that at all.
No, I fully agree. And by the way, that footprint you talked about of, you know, how tiny, like Israel being no bigger than the size of New Jersey, and yet the entire focus and hatred of the world is on Israel. The land that they possessed originally, the promised land, was actually a bigger footprint than what they have now. And then they, you know, offered Gaza as a olive branch of sorts to the Palestinian people. Said, okay, you can live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they moved out and said, okay, this is yours. You can live here. which in that sense is sort of a two-state solution. I don't want to use that term really, but I mean, the point is they were accommodating for the needs of the people living in Gaza who were not Jewish and who didn't want, you know, quote, Jewish occupation. I'm not really realistically using that word, but in the long run, and there was peace. There was a peace agreement in, you know, in effect when the Palestinians invaded Israel in October of 2023, I think it was. Yes, 23. All of that, just absolutely shocking. Why in the world can't the rest of the world live at peace with Israel? And the reason is they want them exterminated. I think demonically, I think even if people don't understand what they're doing, they're working against the people of God. As the Bible says, if you've got a problem with that, don't email me, Bob, or John. Go to the Word of God and take it up with the Lord, who said that these are his people and this is his plan. And this is where the, by the way, if people say, well, you know, they are now occupying land that doesn't belong to them. Well, how did the temple get there? The temple was there because thousands of years ago, you know, they established themselves. That was their home. That was the land that God gave to them. So all those, you know, arguments are ridiculous. And I can't believe that they're still going on. But you mentioned college campuses, and I think that's where the confusion and the delusion is coming in, is through the progressive teaching people are getting on college campuses about all this.
Really quick, Neil, SunPower LED, another thing where there's folks out there with conflicting opinions on how red light therapy works. Part of that, by the way, is because they've used inferior devices with no results. And the reason is because, yeah, there's no results because the device is inferior, Neil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's seen a little pen light that you use to see your keys when you're trying to open a door, that kind of a thing. And then you've also seen spotlights that you shoot into the sky that, you know, can be seen for hundreds of miles. The bottom line is that the power of and effectiveness of the product SunPower LED absolutely harnesses a massive amount of energy to be able to get into the body, get to the cellular level, energize the mitochondria in our cells and heal our body. Literally light that God created being used to reduce pain and swelling and promote healing in our bodies. And with a million different kinds of applications, I mean, more surface level things like skin problems and whatever can be dealt with on a lower setting of SunPower LED. The higher setting gets deeper into the body, but it can deal with things like spinal stenosis, back and neck pain, plantar fasciitis, migraines, joint pain, arthritis pain. You need to learn about it for yourself and see what SunPower LED can do for you. You can find it on the website CrawfordMediaGroup.net and watch videos, ask questions, learn about it, interact, find out what light therapy from SunPower LED can do to help heal your body. And if you order a device, use the promo code ROUNDTABLE10 to save yourself 10%. When you go to CrawfordMediaGroup.net, you'll not only find SunPower LED, but Bob, that's also where you'll find our other major sponsor, Preborn.
That's right. And a lot of you give to Preborn. Many of you have given to Preborn multiple times. And I'm just asking everybody, please make it part of your regular giving to Preborn, because what you're doing is you're making part of your household missionary budget, saving babies' lives, right? Stopping abortions. You're paying for ultrasound images. That's what Preborn does all across the country in pro-life centers. They show ultrasound images. Mom sees a picture of her baby. She chooses life almost all the time. By the way, very commonly accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, too. So we're asking you to just continue paying for ultrasound images. $28 is the average ultrasound expense to stop one abortion. So pray about a number of abortions you'd be willing to stop today. Take $28 times fill in the blank, and then that's your gift to Preborn. And hey, we do need some of you out there, especially coming up on the end of the year. We need some of you out there to take a nice tax write-off of $15,000 and buy an ultrasound machine. That's right there, $15,000. Your forever legacy is you'll be stopping thousands and thousands of abortions year after year. Think about that, okay? We've had several of our listeners over the years pay $15,000 for an ultrasound machine. Can I talk to somebody right now and ask you to do the same thing? Okay. But for everybody else, $28 times fill in the blank. So go to CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on Preborn. CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on Preborn. Or they answer the phones 24/7. You can give over the phone. Call 833-850-BABY, 833-850-BABY. And don't forget, 100% of your gift goes to ultrasounds. Nothing for overhead. That's all covered by private donors. So we appreciate you folks giving and supporting Preborn and SunPower LED. And by the way, Neil, one of the things I wanted to respond to, when we do talk about the Palestinian territories and Gaza and them giving up Gaza and such, we got to remember the 1967 war, okay, the Palestinians per se, There's not actually an ethnic group of people called Palestinians. Technically, Palestinians are Jordanians, Syrians, and Egyptians mostly. Okay, that's what they are. Jordan had the West Bank, Syria, the Golan Heights, and Gaza by Egypt. Well, Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005. Now, you also had Saudi Arabia, and there was the Sinai Peninsula, and Israel pulled out of that in 1982 and gave it back to Egypt. But really, this is, I mean, Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, when you look at the West Bank and Golan Heights and even Gaza, this is part of the spoils of Israel winning this war against these other nations, not to mention the fact it's necessary to have kind of a buffer to protect themselves. And that's the reason why they've held onto the West Bank and Golan Heights, even though they've given up Gaza. I submit to you that for all the people saying, nope, Israel needs to pull out of the West Bank and Golan Heights too, it won't change anything because the anti-Israel people, they don't want to go back to pre-1967 borders. They want to go back to pre-1948 borders where there was no such thing as Israel in the first place. They didn't have their own land. That's really what they want. Peace, peace for land has proven a failure. Israel gave up Gaza in 2005, and here we are 20 years later. Anybody see peace as a result of that?
Right,
you know,
right.
No. So, no, the Arab nations and Muslim nations, they don't want Israel to exist.
That's right.
And
Bob, let's dovetail into that, because this whole thing I read earlier about, you know, Zionism taking over the U.S. government and the fact that we, you know, support Israel the way we do. And by the way, for all of you listening, I think our budget to Israel, Bob, correct me, I think it's about $4 billion a year, roughly, I want to say, maybe a little more than that. But at the end of the day, cheapest date on the planet when it comes to keeping peace and some of the technology advancements and things that we get out of them that we share back and forth. It's huge. Again, guys, it's one of the cheapest dates out there to get the peace and the exposure, I guess you could say, in that part of the world. I absolutely, as a taxpayer, I'm all for that. I would pay double that, triple that even if need be, Bob, to keep the peace and do what's needed over there. But this whole idea that, you know, they are the attacker, they are the aggressor, and, you know, it's the Mossad, and they're the ones that are doing all these bad things. In fact, there's lunacy conspiracy theories that, you know, Mossad was actually behind the 9/11 attacks and this, that, and the other. I mean, some of the stuff that I hear, Bob, it just makes my head want to explode. Some of these people get off on these rabbit trails of just utter nonsense. And the reality is, Israel, when it comes to our defense mechanisms in the Middle East, it is the cheapest date we've got.
It really is. And we got to remember, too, that doesn't mean that we're always going to agree with everything Israel does. Okay?
No, Donald Trump pulled them back on several things here recently, Bob. So, and these people that say that Israel rules over Donald Trump, by the way, no one rules Donald Trump, period. So that, again, is another one of the dumbest things I've ever heard said, Bob.
I know, it really is. But the fact is, we're not going to agree. Sometimes Israel's going to make mistakes. Sometimes Israel's going to counterpunch
harder than
they should have. Exactly. Everybody does that, okay? But that doesn't mean that we have this hatred in our heart for them, and that's what is breeding a lot. And let me just say on a side note, I do understand that there's a lot of people that really get hung up on, well, but who are really the Jews? Are they really the Jews? You know, number one, you can't say that there's a Jewish race because there's only one human race, the human race, okay?
Right.
There are debates about what percentage of genetic, you know, Jewish genetic DNA can be traced back theoretically to Abraham, and is it a cultural identity, a religious identity? Is it an ethnic and genetic identity? I understand all the debates that can happen around that, but it still doesn't change the fact that whether you think that that person is a Jew or not really a Jew, you have hatred in your heart for somebody who perceives themselves to be a Jew. And we cannot have that kind of hatred in our heart. We need to love the prodigal that God loves.
Well, and really quick, I would challenge some of what you just said on that, Bob, because, I mean, I can go do a DNA test. I have. I can look back and see the Rush name in my background is mostly English, which is where that name came from, by the way, and I'm about two-thirds that. So, yeah, there's been some other blending in from other family members and so on. But at the end of the day, am I mostly English? Yeah, Bob, I am.
No, I don't have a problem with being able to genetically figure out what you mostly are. What I'm saying is there's a debate about how genetically – commonly what people say is if you can show that you're 25% genetically Jewish, then you can call yourself, quote, unquote, a Jew.
Okay.
But my point is I'm talking about the hatred that people have in their heart toward Jews. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter if that person is really a Jew or not really a Jew. It doesn't matter. Even if they perceive themselves to be, you are hating somebody who calls himself a Jew. Why? You know, so
I want to flip this, and Neil, I'll go to you. You know, let's just say, for example, that Israel wasn't Israel. Let's call it, I don't know, some other country. I don't know, pick a name. And they're not Jews. They're some other. You know, I agree with Bob. You know, it's all one race, the human race. But let's just say it's a different culture than the Jews that are there in Israel. But they still will do for us as a country what Israel's doing. They'll share technology. They'll come up with new technologies, by the way. The Iron Dome and things along those lines. I mean, it's a very intelligent culture, I guess you could say, Neil. And at the end of the day, I don't care if it's Israel or if it's Zimbabwe. At the end of the day, if we're getting out of that country what we get from Israel, I have no problem supporting them. It isn't just because they're Israel is my point that we support them. It's what are we getting as a country out of Israel is the way I'm looking at it.
There's a geopolitical benefit.
Yeah, well, we've always had a belief that the best, you know, way to defend yourself is to have a strong military and key allies, you know, uniquely positioned around the world. Israel has been an ally of the United States for years. And by the way, if you look at, Bob was talking earlier about, you know, how does this little country even exist when the entire region where they're located hates them and is constantly shooting missiles into Israel from all, you know, every conceivable angle, various terrorist groups, et cetera, constantly in that sense at war with Israel. So how do they even exist? But, you know, the word of God is clear that people that bless Israel will be blessed. And the United States has stood as an ally to Israel, a friend to Israel, a cooperative nation with Israel on so many different fronts. And what two nations would you say in the world have been the most blessed over, you know, over the years? Now, Israel's endured tremendous persecution, but hasn't utterly been snuffed out, you know, and what I think we're seeing there is the faithfulness of God to make good on his promises. And I don't want to be on the other side of the equation when somebody says, well, what happened to the United States? Well, we quit supporting Israel and we disappeared as a nation. You know, I really honestly believe that it's part of the command of the people of God to support God's plan and purpose, and it comes through the Jewish people. Jesus, as we said earlier, is a Jew, and his name is Jesus Christ, which is where we get the word Christianity. Christianity is inextricably linked to Judaism. There's no two ways around it. And I guess if people want to try to make up that, you know, real Jews don't exist anymore, blah, 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 well, Jesus does. He's the eternal God.
Great point.
And right. Jesus is a Jew, and he's coming back again, and we report to him. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, you know, Jews and Christians alike, and even detractors, even atheists are going to have to admit that Jesus is who he said he was and is. So I don't know. I just want to focus on the idea that how in the world has the United States been so blessed over the years? And I think in large part because of our love for God and the things of God and his word and the Jewish people. And I just think it's all part of the blessing God has bestowed on the United States over the years that we've enjoyed Agreed. Such prosperity.
Agree. Right. And again, Bob, I mean, reading some of that paragraphs that I mentioned earlier as we open up the second half, we'll cut wasteful foreign military aid. Bob, as a government, as the United States, especially as we've seen through the shutdown and so on, the little bit that we give to Israel is almost a rounding error with a lot of the other programs we have in the way we, you know, SNAP and everything else, Bob. At the end of the day, we would be far better off to focus our efforts in those areas as we would be how much aid do we give Israel.
Well, I know. And look, I mentioned geopolitically before, all right, Israel is it's our closest ally in the Middle East. Right? It's the closest thing to an actual democracy that exists in the Middle East. So even geopolitically, we should absolutely be supporting them if you even remove the biblical equation from
Correct.
This.
Correct.
But you know, there's still one of the things I did want to throw out on the table, though, because I know we talked about this early on, okay? I don't want to completely ignore the anti-Semitic argument that the Jews control everything. All right? Well, first of all, the Jews don't control everything. But we don't want to stick our head in the sand and be in denial to the fact that if you look at the leaders of the Hollywood industries, of the news media, and of much of the banking world, it is true that you typically have a disproportionate number of Jewish leaders at the forefront of that. Okay, well, Jews have all the money. Well, they don't have all the money, but on average, Jewish people do tend to be more moneyed than a lot of other people around the world. Now, the question is, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to have the liberal leftist Marxist mindset of pointing our finger at somebody that has more than us and then have a covetousness and an anger and a hatred toward that? No. And by the way, I don't rule out the possibility that because God chose Israel and blesses the Jewish people, that even if they don't follow him, that they may still be enjoying the blessings of God's covenant that he bestowed on them, it could very well be, even if they've turned their back on them. You know, look, if the prodigal walks away from the dad, he still has the dad's genetic makeup and potentially the skills and abilities and whatever that or the blessings that God may have given him, if he's squandering and turning his back on them. So this could just be the remnant of God blessing the Jewish people, even though the Jewish people aren't realizing that they're being blessed by God, and they
well,
do still
and,
need to
and along
to
those
him.
Lines, Bob, some of that, I think, and this is something that, again, I don't think a lot of people really look at that culture. I've been good friends with certain Jewish, you know, individuals, families, and such, you know, over the years, and the one thing that I know that they do culturally speaking in their families, which is different than a lot of, I get it, some of our families do the same thing, but the one thing that they do is they foster internally, Bob, a lot of what you just talked about. They talk about those things. They're very, you know, family oriented when it comes to teaching their kids and making sure that they understand some of the things that you just mentioned a moment ago. And is it intrinsically because they have been blessed by God, or is it because they continue to foster that from generation to generation, or is it a combination of the two? I don't know, Bob, but it's probably a combination of the two. But at the end of the day, are they more able to do some things that other people groups don't do because of what I just mentioned? Yeah, plain and simple, yes, is the answer.
Yeah, so and I believe that could very well be the case. We just have to, and I keep bringing it back to this, we just have to determine, are we going to have hatred in our hearts toward them because they may be blessed or benefiting in a lot of different areas? And by the way, I don't rule out, I mean, I acknowledge that Satan is working evil through lot of different portals.
That's right.
Many of the portals that he's working through do happen to be run by a lot of prominent Jewish people. Okay, fine. That doesn't justify me having a hatred in my heart. If one of my kids, John, if one of your kids not only went prodigal, but became an activist for Planned Parenthood or became a Satanist even, we'll say, if one of your kids did that, you wouldn't stop loving your child. You'd keep on praying for them.
And
if they came to their senses and said, Dad, I'm sorry, you'd welcome him back with open arms.
Yeah,
so would you, Neil. So would I. So would our Heavenly Father to the Jews.
Absolutely. Neil, as we wrap things up, talk to us about SunPower LED, if you would.
Yeah, and just before I get to that, let me mention real quick that the Jews have been blessed, but they've also endured exile, persecution, slavery. They endured the Holocaust, et cetera.
Yes,
I mean, they've been the recipient of tremendous hardship over the years.
Yes.
And yet they remain friendly to the United States. I love that. But anyway, SunPower LED, this is a wonderful organization that puts out a product you can't get anywhere else. I mean, there is red light therapy floating around out there. You can buy stuff on Amazon or maybe go to the store and get a bunch of laser lights and tape them all together. But you'll never get the concentrated power that you will from a product made by SunPower LED. Harnessing red and near-infrared light waves and energizing your body through it, energizing the cells in your body to promote healing, to reduce pain and swelling. It's incredible how light therapy is not only working, but becoming popular as an all-natural remedy. I mean, people are sick and tired of using drugs that don't work, drugs that require you going on more medication to deal with the effects of the first medication, et cetera. And surgical options are not always possible or warranted or wanted. So if you're interested in getting rid of pain and swelling in your body and seeing yourself live a happier, healthier life, I encourage you to connect with SunPower LED. You can do that at CrawfordMediaGroup.net. And by the way, watch the videos, you know, learn all about it. But if you happen to order a product, use the promo code ROUNDTABLE10. And because you're a listener to the National Crawford Roundtable, you'll get yourself a 10% discount. ROUNDTABLE10 by clicking on SunPower LED at CrawfordMediaGroup.net, which is also, Bob, where you can find our longtime sponsor, Preborn.
That's right. And so we're just asking you right now, give to preborn, plain and simple. $28 is the average ultrasound expense to stop one abortion. So pray about a number of abortions you'd be willing to stop with your gift today. I don't know how long it's been since you've given a preborn, but I'm just asking you to do it again. All right. We can never stop the process of saving babies' lives. Okay. That needs to be an ongoing thing that we do. So let's keep those ultrasound machines running. It's our money. It's your money, folks, that keeps these ultrasound machines running and saves these babies' lives. So $28 is the average ultrasound expense to save one baby's life. How many babies' lives we save today? Take $28 times fill in the blank, and that's your gift to preborn. And hey, we do need some of you out there to buy ultrasound machines. They're $15,000 a piece. Great tax write-off for you at the end of this year. And you get to know you're stopping thousands of abortions year after year. Okay, but for everybody else, $28 times fill in the blank. So whether you're a $15,000 giver or $28 times fill in the blank, either way, 100%, every dime you give goes to ultrasounds, nothing for overhead. That's all covered by private donors. This is preborn, everybody. So yeah, go to CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on preborn. CrawfordMediaGroup.net, click on preborn, give right now. And if you want to give over the phone, they do answer the phones 24/7. So call anytime, 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-BABY. We appreciate you.
Guys, that's it again. Another edition of the National Crawford Roundtable. Appreciate all of you listening. Again, as always, if there's comments or suggestions, whatever, please make sure you email Bob Duco, not myself.
And amen.
Complaints and criticisms. It's John at.
All right, guys. Again, another episode of the National Crawford Roundtable. Appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate our sponsors as well. Appreciate both of you. And again, guys, be blessed out there and go read scripture regarding Israel.
You've been listening to the National Crawford Roundtable podcast, a view of today's culture through a biblical lens, brought to you by Preborn, saving babies and souls. Join us in the fight to save babies from abortion. Your gift provides a free ultrasound for a mother in need. 80% of the time, she will choose life. Visit CrawfordMediaGroup.net and click on their logo to donate. And by SunPower LED light therapy devices, bring light to your pain. Visit CrawfordMediaGroup.net and click on the SunPower LED logo to get out of pain and improve your overall wellness. You can download this podcast from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more from your local Crawford Media Group station's website or at CrawfordMediaGroup.net. And please give this podcast a 5-star rating on your Apple app. Look for the notification on your app for when the next weekly edition of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast is ready for you to download. This is a Crawford Media Group production.